property investment is often touted as this holy grail towards financial freedom. But what about if your property portfolio is holding you back from living your best life, and even further, if it's pushing you toward financial ruin? I'm going to share with you a case study of my client, Barbara. All name and details have been changed. But what I suggested to Barbara might shock you. It really shocked her, and it shocked me too. But ultimately, the numbers don't lie. Thank you very much for being a loyal listener of my podcast for nearly 7 years. Can you believe it's been 7 years of podcasting? And while my career has taken many turns, and what hasn't changed is my passion for property, my passion for feeling empowered and confident with your financial future, wealth management, all that goes along with that, and my interest in health and nutrition, longevity, that's come from growing up in a vegetarian family, and my postgrad certificate in nutrition. All of these things have given me this very firm foundation in health and nutrition that continues to today. And I was finding that more of the people that I was following were also interested in not just creating a wealthier life, but creating a healthier life. So welcome to my newly relaunched podcast. So let's talk about Barbara. She came to me with a problem. As I said, all her name and details have all been changed to protect her privacy, but the fundamentals, the numbers, are the same. Now, Barbara doesn't hold her own home. She's 53 years old, single, no children, no savings, no pension. But she does have a portfolio of 6 properties in and around Sheffield and Doncaster. Now, they're worth $700,000 before debt and just under $500,000 after debt. Her income from that property is $4,000 per calendar month gross, but approximately £2,000 per calendar month net of mortgage costs and tax. So no matter how you look at it, it's quite a healthy yield on paper. One thing that Barbara hadn't factored in were the maintenance costs of the properties, and it's only when her accountant brought this to her attention while doing her tax return recently that he pointed out that she had undercalculated the maintenance costs. So I factored in approximately 1 hour per property per month of her time at £12 per hour or £144 a year. She'd had some bad tenants, void periods and maintenance issues. So it meant in reality, she spent much more time than this on her properties. But we thought we'd factor that in. In addition to the property income, Barbara is a part-time personal trainer, and she earns about $850 a month, giving a total monthly net income after tax of £2,700. And that gives her a marginal tax rate of 20%. As well as her investment property mortgages, she's got a car loan of £15,000 on 8% per annum interest rates. So Barbara came to me with the problem that she doesn't own her own home. She's living with her ex in Essex, but they've broken up. It's all very amicable, but despite the fact that they've been living together for quite some time, she needs to move out as her ex is selling the flat, which is in the ex's name. And so Barbara is going from spending about $450 per calendar month in rent and bills to at least $1,200 a month just in rent to live in that area that she wants to stay in, plus her bills on top. Now, when Barbara and I sat down initially, she had no idea what her bills were likely to be. So we worked it out. On average, her council tax, utilities, food, car expenses, phone, broadband, etc., would come in at around £800. So with her loan repayments, she would just be able to get by with rent at £1,200 a month. But there's another element to this too. All her property loans are on really low rates, and every one of them needs to be refinanced from currently around 2.5% up to the current rates of, 5% at the moment. They might drop a little bit, but we are seeing them around 5%, and that's starting late this year. And it's unlikely that Barbara can increase her rents enough to cover this increase in borrowing costs. And especially when you factor in the additional taxation on that additional rent increase. Do you know what I mean? So as she earns more income, she will be pushed, more of that will be taxed. So many people might look at her and think, wow, she's got this portfolio worth 700,000 and is making 400,000, sorry, 4,000 a month. But it's 500,000 after debt and 2,000 a month after all the costs. She's got no home and about to live dangerously close to financial ruin when she moves into rented accommodation. One bad tenant or a void period, and she'll be unable to meet her basic needs or loan repayments. And if rents go up by 25% over the next 2 years, as they're forecast to, she won't be able to afford it at all. The rent she received is taxed, remember, and the rent she pays is after tax. So, what did I suggest? Well, what I thought I'd suggest initially is to sell a couple of the properties, and maybe the largest of the properties, raise a deposit and get a mortgage. And that's probably what most of you thought. The problem that I found when I modeled this out in Excel is that the moment you take away even one of those investment properties, she doesn't have the income to support even a modest mortgage. And I'm not actually sure that a bank would lend to her either with the asset mix that she's got, as well as those, the income and expenditure levels. So what did I suggest? I suggested that she sells everything, every last property. Now, we haven't spoken about this yet, but her properties are ripe with CGT. So I recommended that she pay the CGT, pay out the car loan. She would net $350,000 in cash after paying down the mortgages and the CGT and the car loan. $300,000 could be used to buy a lovely two-bedroom property in the area she wants to be in. $20,000 could go into an investment ISA and another $20,000 into an on-call cash account. And both of those could easily be earning around 4.75% right now. So then her expenses, excluding the rent, would be $800 a month. And she earns $850 a month, so not a huge amount. She won't be taking lovely holidays or buying lots of clothing on Net-a-Porter. But she will be covering her costs. And she would own her own home outright. The other thing that Barbara could consider is taking in a lodger. And she can then earn $7,500 a year or $625 per calendar month, tax-free. She's got the extra bedroom in this hypothetical house that I've chosen for her. And she would also earn about another £138 a month from her cash and investments. So altogether, £1,638. So keep in mind that her expenses are roughly £800 in this scenario that I presented to her. The best bit? All her earnings up to £12,570 or £1,047.50 a month, excluding that lodger income, because that's not tax, remember. So this, all these earnings up to her allowance, her tax-free allowance of £12,570 are tax-free. So she would pay no tax. She would have no tenants to worry about and all that stress that she's had to deal with up till now. She will have no landlord to answer to. She would own her own home completely debt-free. And without the stress of dealing with this property portfolio, she could pick up extra PT clients and earn more money if she wanted to. Let's look at this another way, because I'm sure a lot of you property people are yelling at me right now. But let's look at it another way. Let's say your best friend was living in her own home, earning a modest salary but had no debt. Would you tell her to sell up everything and buy a leveraged property portfolio and become a tenant herself in her 50s? I doubt it. Well, some of you hardcore property people might just. So currently, Barbara's still digesting the advice and the numbers. It's a really big decision and she's got this emotional attachment to it. And I understand that. This portfolio has done exactly what it was supposed to do, and it served her really well while her living expenses were low and, importantly, while interest rates were low. But it's a different environment now. Her living expenses are going in one direction. It's not just because she's moving out of this shared home, but because she's moving into potentially private rental. And also, expenses are just going up each year. And also, the Bank of England will most likely return to historical normal levels of 3-5%. So interest rates, I doubt, are ever going to be back down near that ZERP or zero interest rate environment that we've experienced for so long. And many of us just think it's normal. It's just not going to happen. So the portfolio served her well, but it doesn't anymore. She needs a rethink. And what I suggested was drastic. I'm not sure she's going to do it, actually. And it worries me because I've modelled out her cash flow and I can't see her being able to afford to live the lifestyle that she needs to by the end of this year. And if she has to start fire saling some of those properties, it's not going to be pretty. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I'll report back on what Barbara decides to do. But I'm keen to hear what you think. Should Barbara sell up everything for a life without stress and own her own home, or continue on with the investment properties? Is property always the way? Don't know. Anyway, if you'd like to be a case study on my podcast, please do get in touch. You can go to nicolebremner.com/discovery to have a call with me and talk through your financial situation and perhaps talk about that live on a podcast. So thank you, and I'll see you next week. Live healthier, wealthier, and wiser lives. So thank you very much for joining me on this very long journey. And please do like, subscribe, and share, because it all helps. But thank you.